And we've been looking especially at some of the words of Jesus, who makes very clear to us what forgiveness is all about. And in the series, we've looked at forgiveness from three different points of view. The first one, we looked at how we get forgiveness from God and what it means for God to forgive us. If you go to the next slide, here's an attitude of someone who doesn't quite understand forgiveness. When I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way, so I stole one and asked Him to forgive me. Probably doesn't quite have it figured out yet. And unfortunately, sometimes as human beings, we almost act like that. It's like, yeah, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow because I know God's going to forgive. So we laugh at that, and we should, but we want to make sure we don't put that practice into our own lives in any way, shape, or form, because it's a very tempting way to go. Secondly is how to accept it. Very often we see with people that when we are forgiven, we live as though we haven't actually been forgiven. And we don't understand that when God forgives us, He forgives us completely. And that there is no need for guilt. And one of Satan's great weapons is to whisper into our hearts and minds that what we've done is so bad that God can't really forgive us, or that somehow we still need to make up for it. And that God's call to ministry on our lives is not a call for joy, but it's a call to punish us and to make us work on the kinds of things that to make up for what we've done wrong in the past. And so we need to really have the attitude that we see in the next slide. Thank you, Lord, for another day to try and fix everything. I messed up in the past. I am so glad You forgive me now, because if You forgive me, Lord, now please help me to forgive myself. So when we do some things wrong, yes, we want to live differently in the future, but we need to live it based on God's forgiveness, not on the fact that we can somehow make up for it. And then last week we talked about forgiving others, and at the and we had everyone holding a rock, and that hopefully by the end of the service that rock would be very annoying to hold. And then as we had communion together, we marched by the table that's there under a cross and released that burden of unforgiveness that we had towards someone else. And the next slide again shows us how some people don't quite get it. It's looking at the gravestone. It says, "The following people still owe me an apology. Please check to see if you're on the list." So that's his headstone. It's really not going to do him any good at this particular point. And obviously, he went to his death in a very, very angry and upset state. And that's not how we want to live. So we want to remember some things about forgiveness. First of all, seven things forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting, just pretending it never happened, whether for ourselves or for someone else. Forgiveness is not regaining automatic trust. Trust is earned. And especially if someone has harmed you, it's natural to spend some time enabling that person to either regain that trust or not. You can forgive, doesn't mean that you're going to automatically trust. Forgiveness is also not the removal of consequences. We can do something, we can be completely forgiven by God, but the consequences of what we've done wrong, we may still have to live with, and we may still have to deal with in either greater or lesser degrees. And the same thing happens when we're dealing with other people. Forgiveness is not ignoring the offense, pretending nothing ever happened. That's not forgiveness, because it's still there in the back of our minds. Forgiveness is not instant emotional healing. God does heal our emotions, but often that does take some time. And so we shouldn't come into it expecting that, well, if I forgive someone, boom, everything will be fine and I'll just think in a completely different way. God often lifts at that time a very great burden from our shoulders, but that healing comes with time. Forgiveness is not restoring the same relationship. Relationships might be restored, and in some cases they might even be closer than they were before, but also it might not. And so we need to make sure that we don't have false expectations about forgiveness in that area. And finally, forgiveness is not a leverage of power. It doesn't mean that if I forgive someone, I now have power over them because I've been so magnanimous to forgive that person, they now owe me. That's not what it's about. So what is forgiveness? Well, again, seven things that forgiveness is. First of all, forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion. If we wait for the emotion, it's probably not going to happen. And so forgiveness is a choice. Granted, at times it can be excruciatingly difficult, but it still is a choice. It's also, secondly, letting go of the right to get even. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, God says that he's the one who's going to repay. He'll take care of anything that needs to be dealt with in that area. And so we, as we forgive, we let that go. Forgiveness is moving forward. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it reminds us that we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And so we are to lay aside every hindrance and the sin that ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Unforgiveness, we used a rock last Sunday to symbolize unforgiveness. It's actually more like a big backpack with a 50-pound stone in it. And like I said last week, I didn't think the board would authorize me to buy everybody one of those so that we could wear them during the service, so we went with the rock. But that's what it's like. It is that huge pack. And that is a hindrance to the ministry that God has for us, to the life that God has for us, to the joy that God has for us. And so forgiveness is moving forward and setting that aside. Forgiveness, and part of that is dropping resentments and grudges. Forgiving releases the attitudes we have towards the person who did the injury. We release that. It's a step towards healing. It's not something, again, as I mentioned before, that happens overnight. But when true forgiveness occurs, most people feel a huge weight released, and then emotions begin to heal over time. So forgiveness is a very, very crucial step towards healing. Sixthly, forgiveness is an opportunity to display grace. There's no greater picture of God's forgiveness of others than for us to forgive one another. It's literally being the example of Christ. Paul writes this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, that we are to bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. It's simply following the pattern of Christ and granting that forgiveness to others and availing of it of ourselves for ourselves from God. And finally, it's the removal of a roadblock. Forgiveness removes the barrier between us and other individuals and makes it possible to live at peace again with ourselves, with others, and with God. The barrier can be any of those places. And you can actually put up a barrier to your own life to live in such a way that you don't experience the joy that God has for you because you've created this barrier where you don't accept the forgiveness that's come your way. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so we see what forgiveness is not. We see what forgiveness is, what forgiveness is. But there's a piece that's missing in there, and it's kind of a loose end, kind of a loose thread in there. The simple definition of a loose end is unfinished business. For most of us, loose ends can be a relatively trivial thing. They may not make or break a project or a relationship, but they can be something that keeps it from being all that it could be and should be. There's almost as many responses to loose ends as there are people in the world. Some people, if there's something that's not quite right, it bugs them and they need to do something about it till it's made right. Other people, it's like, eh, no big deal. And when those two opposite personalities are married, it makes for interesting life sometimes. So what do we do with loose ends? We can be influenced by other people in this. We can have other people's opinions and desires influence what might be a loose end, or it might actually not be. We have the phrase that's out there that it says, in a household, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So mamas influence everybody in that situation, rightly or wrongly. But what I'm talking about this morning is not a person influencing us, but the Holy Spirit influencing us. That the Spirit is focusing our attention on a loose end related to forgiveness. And that loose end often is a situation where I've offended someone, I've done something, there's a relationship there that for whatever reason isn't right, and I know it, and now I need to do something about it. Basically, as a member of God's family, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is there to teach us, to guide us in all truth, and to remind us of those things that are not quite right in our life so that we can make them right. As a forgiven child of God, I am working towards perfection. Now, notice I said working towards, because I've been here long enough. You guys have already got figured out that I'm not perfect, and certainly if you want any past history, talk to my wife, and she'll just say amen and amen to that. And I've been here long enough that I haven't found anybody perfect in this group either yet. We're all working towards perfection because the Scripture says that's what life is going to be like when we are with Christ for all eternity. It's going to be perfect, but we're not there yet. But that's no excuse for staying where we were. We are to become more and more Christ-like in our life. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. And so we're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5. Now, one of the things that happens sometimes is when you preach is you forget to do some of the things that you tell other people to do. And I know I've mentioned this here a number of times, is that when you, whenever you're reading Scripture, make sure you get the context. And so I've preached this message a couple of times, and I've used the verses that I'm going to use today, but I never really looked at the context. And this week, I went back and I read the context and I went, what I'm preaching is true. It's just way truer than what I actually even realized. It's more powerful than what I actually even realized. Because the verses I'm going to use are verses 23 through 26 in Matthew chapter 5. But this section actually starts in verse 21. And in this section, Jesus is talking on his Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about all kinds of things. And so we have the Beatitudes at the beginning of the chapter. We have the whole issue of the fact that we're called to be salt and light. We have the issue of what the law is all about and in how, unless you keep the law perfectly, you can't fulfill it. And then he comes to the subject of murder. And he says this, "You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, racha, which means fool, is answerable to court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell." And so, Jesus here is talking about relationship. And he's talking about relationships that are broken to the degree that someone may actually murder someone. And so most people are going, well, yeah, I get ticked off at my spouse or my boss or my friend, but I haven't murdered anybody yet. Jesus is saying, if you get into the relationships, gets to the place where you're so angry that you're calling the other person names, that's the same as murder. That's the same as breaking the relationship to that degree. And so the words that we're going to look at are underpinned by this understanding that Jesus says our relationships are to be whole, are to be right. And when we have a level of anger, any kind of level of anger towards anyone else, then we need to do the things that he's going to ask us to do. Basically, there needs to be a reconciliation and a forgiveness. And that's what we're going to talk about and talk through this morning. So let's look at Matthew chapter 23 and 24, and they're going to come up on the board or on the screen. They already are. Chapter 23, therefore, and I'll remember, probably heard preachers say this many times, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for, and that's what we just talked about. It's because of relationships that can be broken. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. If you're coming into church and you see someone walking in the front door and you slow down to give them time to clear the lobby so you don't have to talk to them, that's the kind of thing that he's talking about here. If you remember you have something against someone, you need to forget what it is that you've come to do as far as worship goes, and you need to clean that up first, because if you don't, you're not really worshiping. I believe that remembering in this scripture is the ability to hear, feel, and discern the leading of the Holy Spirit that comes from our relationship with God. This isn't just about me and what I remember. This is seeing something or thinking about something and feeling the nudge of God that says, you need to do something here, my friend. There's something here that's not right, and you need to clean it up. According to Jesus, if we come to worship God and we have outstanding problems, the Holy Spirit nudges us. What's that nudge? Well, it's kind of like if you grew up in a family like I did, where mom could give you that certain look and clear her throat, and you knew exactly what she meant, even though she never said a word. Because whatever it is you were doing or thinking about doing at that time, she knew it, and she was giving you a nudge of what you should do. And it's the Holy Spirit does that as well. If we're willing to listen, we need to listen to those cues. We need to hear what he has to say to us. Loose ends are the things that we end up knowing we need to deal with as we mature and grow in our relationship with Christ. But man, sometimes they're just hard to do. So what am I talking about? Well, here's some things to think about. If there's a person that you would prefer not to meet when you're out at a restaurant or a grocery store, that's a loose end. If there's someone you would prefer not to see at a wedding or a funeral, that's a loose end. If there's someone that you would prefer not to sit next to at a family Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, loose end. If there's someone that refuses to talk to you or even be in the same room with you, loose end. I like this one. I didn't make this one up. Hanging off the edge of a cliff, calling for help, if there's a voice that you don't want to hear, that's a really big loose end at that particular point. Loose ends. And so today I want to allow you to let the Holy Spirit to speak to you about an uncomfortable situation in your past. I want you to listen for a moment and let a situation and ultimately the person involved in that situation, who probably has something against you that you need to deal with, come to your mind. And we're just going to take 30 seconds and ask you to listen to what the Spirit might say. Let's do that right now. Why only 30 seconds? I don't think it takes the Spirit a long time to speak to us if we're willing to listen. And you certainly have the opportunity to go home and make that a part of your devotional life if there's something that's nagging at you but you're not quite sure what it is. Perhaps truly this morning when that happened, you couldn't think of any situation or any person. And if that's true, then awesome. You've probably already put this teaching into practice in your life, that you deal with those relationships that cause us stress, that cause us difficulty, and especially when we've harmed someone else. And it may not be a situation where we've done anything on purpose. We may not have set out to harm anyone or to insult anyone or to make them feel bad in any way. But we know that we have. And sometimes our pride gets in the way, and because we didn't mean to do it, it's like, why should I apologize for something that I didn't mean to do? Or why should I apologize for something that they totally misunderstood? We need, as we have been reminded, to live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on us. And if we know someone is upset with something that we've said or done, then we just need to clean it up and deal with it. If you leave a loose end of not attempting to resolve a difference with your brother or sister, whether that's a physical brother or sister or a spiritual brother or sister, then you are limiting what God can do in and through you. You're choosing to be the arbiter of what's right and wrong rather than listening to what God has to say to you. Takes us back to the first week and how a life lived by our choice is a life of sin and a life that damages relationship with God. Now there's another couple of verses here that continue on with this. Verse 25 says this, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge and the judge may hand you over to the officer, that you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." I believe that in this situation, adversary is talking about someone who's not a Christian. Because they shouldn't be your adversary if they're a believer. The believer is the first part. You remember something, go and deal with it. This is an adversary. This is something that's gotten really serious. And we need to do all that we can to reconcile that and make that right. It's part of who we are as believers. It's part of the life that we are called to live and to show the world that we do live differently from the rest of the world. Not perfectly. And somehow we get the idea sometimes that I can't admit my mistake, my wrong action, my wrong words to someone who's not a Christian because then they'll think I'm a hypocrite. No, it's just the exact opposite. Because you see, they already know you've done it. And it's when you don't admit it and deal with it that they think we're hypocrites. We very well may have caused the hurt unintentionally. One of the great ways we do that is we speak truth, but we speak it without love. We speak truth in judgment instead of love. And that makes a huge, huge difference. Love means, when there is an unbiblical, to our understanding of what biblical is, when there's an unbiblical opinion, an unbiblical idea expressed, love reacts to that with sorrow and with a desire to bring truth into that situation. Simply, truth without love reacts to it with anger. And that anger then blinds us to be able to hear what the other person is actually saying, and maybe even to consider that we're the one who's got it wrong and not the other person. Anger doesn't let me think I might be wrong. Anger clouds that relationship. But when I approach someone with a sorrowful heart that they might be walking in a way that's not true, that they might be misunderstanding the Scripture, then we can have a conversation And we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in that and keep a relationship strong, even if at the end of the day we disagree on something. We only have control over what we say and do in trying to fix the damage done. You're not responsible for the other person's response. As a forgiven child of God, we need to ask others to forgive us. And sometimes we need to repay in the best way that we can, whatever that might mean. I think I mentioned this one before, but there was a young man in Penticton who God got a hold of him and started working on his life. And he came to see me in my office one day and he said, a couple of years ago I needed money. And so I took the stereo out of my truck and I sold it and I reported it stolen. And so I got the money from selling the radio and I got the insurance money. He goes, I need to do something about that, don't I? So in grand pastoral fashion, I answered him by saying, what do you think? And he said, well, yeah. I mean, the Spirit had already been working on him in his life. And so he wrote a letter to his insurance company and enclosed a check for the amount. And they actually wrote him a letter that was a pretty amazing letter because it was something he didn't have to do. And so he got a positive response. Now, that's not guaranteed that that would have happened. In his case, it was. But he did the right thing, what he needed to do. Now, in order to do this, in order to take those steps, we have to recognize, even as we talked last week about forgiving others, we have to recognize our position and the forgiveness that's already been given to us. We notice how God was willing to come to us when we wanted nothing to do with Him. He was the one who pursued us. And in this case, we may actually be the guilty party. So how much more do we need to go to someone else? The discernment of right and wrong are tools given to us by the Holy Spirit to use in our journey to live God's best life. And so if we spend time in the Word and in prayer and in listening prayer, God will speak to us in those situations. So we need to deal with those the best that we can. Someone may have died or be in a place where you can no longer have contact. And so you can still write a letter or do something physical that shows that you're in the act of asking for forgiveness to the greatest of your ability. This is one of those things where I encourage people, if it's at all possible, even if it costs you a little money, to arrange a face-to-face meeting. Stuff that happens through emails especially, certainly phone calls to some degree, can be very misunderstood. But if you're sitting face-to-face across the table from someone and they can see you and you can see them, it's a whole lot harder to hide what's actually going on. And you can see the genuineness in the other person's face and actions. We are told that communication is only about 20% verbal when we're talking, and it's about 80% reading body language from the other people, and that we do it subconsciously. And so emails takes all of that away, and that's why this kind of stuff, don't ever try and do this with an email. It just doesn't work. At the very least, do a phone call, but even if, like I said, if it costs you a little money, go visit someone face to face. Put aside pride and clear the air. Ask for forgiveness. And sometimes it's a mutual thing where you've gotten angry at each other and you should really both be asking each other forgiveness because you've both messed up. Here's the good news. That often happens. Here's the bad news. the other person might not agree with you and think it's all your fault. And you just have to take it. Why? Because that's what Christ did. That's what we're called to do. As much as it depends on you. And then you release that other person, and whatever, however they respond, you leave that up to God to deal with. If you want the best that God has to offer for your life, you must be mature enough to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit to do the right thing. It is called growing in Christ. It's resembling Him more and more. One of the amazing things about, as you read the book of Acts, when Jesus died, Pentecost happened, the church began to grow, the religious leaders were not happy. Their plan of killing Jesus to shut this movement down obviously hadn't worked. It had blown up, going totally in the other direction. So they grabbed the apostles and hauled them before the Sanhedrin and yelled at them and told them to shut up. And they responded with grace and truth. And then there's that little line in the book of Acts there that says, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why? Because there was a family resemblance. There was this Christian family resemblance that was there. And that's what we want to have, is we want to have that family resemblance in our relationships with each other and our relationships with the world around us. Now, Jesus did handle every situation perfectly, but his disciples certainly didn't, the apostles certainly didn't, the early church certainly didn't. That expectation is not there of us, but the expectation is that when we do something wrong, that we do everything that we can to make it right. That's an absolutely key part of forgiveness. And when we do that, when we ask forgiveness of other people, it's way easier then to turn around and forgive those who ask us for forgiveness, because we understand exactly where they're coming from. And so I encourage you to not just let this slide through as, oh good, we're finally done this topic, now let's get on to something else message. But to take it and say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to me through this whole thing? This morning, I hope you will ask God's help with any unfinished business you have. The unfinished business might be what we've mainly talked about this morning, is asking someone else, but it may also go back to one of the first few messages that we did. There may be something that you need to deal directly with God about. There may be a forgiveness that God has given you that you have not fully accepted, and you're still trying to work it off somehow. Or it may be that someone has wronged you and you have not forgiven them yet. Whatever the unfinished business might be in your life, let me encourage you to go dive back into the scriptures. The messages are online. I have the transcript information if anybody wants it. And again, as I've said over and over again, don't take my word for this stuff. Take the message online, take what I've said here, some of you I know take notes, go back into the Word and look at it, and do what it says in the Word, and put that into practice in your daily life, and see where and how God might take you. Personally, I don't like it when the Holy Spirit convicts me of something. Because I'd rather just be right all the time. It's much more fun. But every once in a while, I do something or I say something, and I need to come to someone and say, I'm sorry, I messed that up. Now, sometimes the other person will say, didn't bother me. Like, I wasn't offended. And that's fine. Good. You've kept relationship there, and you've simply said to the other person, hey, I'm humble enough to know that if I mess something up, I need to make it right. And that's a good thing. Matter of fact, it's way better to apologize for something that you didn't do or that didn't cause harm the way you think it might have than it is to ignore it and say, well, it probably was no big deal anyhow. Satan likes to whisper those things in our ears. And so if we feel like the Spirit is speaking to us, let's respond to it. Tie up the loose ends. Reconcile those relationships. We're going to be continuing working together as a congregation, and we have some different ideas that we have to come to some common agreement on. And so here's my encouragement to you in this. Remember, as we speak, let's remember to speak truth in love, and that if someone says something that disagrees with what we're saying, let's not get on the high horse and be judgmental, but let's prayerfully and carefully work it through. And on many things, on most things, we will come to some kind of an agreement. And on those things, there are going to be places where we agree to disagree. And yet, if God's called you to be a part of this congregation and for the ministry that this congregation has to the community around, then awesome. Because if we only work with people who think exactly like we do, we just have a whole bunch of small churches that have limited effectiveness. And so we need to be careful about those things. And so I encourage you to hear what the Spirit has to say to you and to respond to Him. Again, this morning, we're not going to walk by the table over there, but if anybody still has the rock in the pocket and you've worked through some things this week and you want to get rid of that, do that. Also, if anybody would like myself or someone else, you may ask someone to come up and pray with you, or our elders, our leadership team will keep an eye on things, and if someone comes up to the front, we'll be happy to pray for you and to encourage you as you journey through this area of forgiveness. It's one of the things that is absolutely unique and central to Christianity that nobody else has. Because everything else, every other religion, every other faith, every other system out there is a list of rules and regulations. And you're judged, you're categorized by on how well you keep the rules. God operates on a system of mercy and grace where He wants to grow us so that we change, that we actually become more like Him, so it's easier to do the right things and the wrong things. Yes, there's still definitely right and wrong in this book. And we need to be very much aware of that. But we also need to be aware of the fact that God is all about relationships. He wants relationship with us, and He wants us to have relationship with each other that are healthy and loving and forgiving. And that we work together to glorify His name in that way. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful this morning for the way that You love us and You care for us. Lord, we are reminded that You are a God of mercy and grace. You're also a God of truth and justice. And so when we choose to dispense mercy and grace into the lives of other people, You'll take care of the justice part of it. If there's anything there that needs to be done, we don't have to worry about that. Lord, we also pray that You would give us the ability at all times to speak truth in love, whether it's to our brothers and sisters who are part of the body, or whether it's to those that we speak to who are not yet part of Your family. Lord, we understand that they will say and do things simply because they don't know any better. And they have opinions and ideas that are biblically very wrong. And yet, Lord, we need to speak truth in love, in sorrow for where they're headed, where their life is headed and their eternity is headed if they don't come into relationship with You, rather than anger at the falseness in which they're living. Lord, give us hearts of love for one another and for the world around us in the way that Your heart loves. And Lord, I love that phrase that You love us just the way You are, but You love us too much to leave us that way. And so through Your Spirit, You work on us to change us. So Lord, give us the courage to hear Your Spirit speak and to obey what He has to say to us. And Lord, for all the things that happen in our life, as we seek to obey you, whether they seem difficult or joyous or anywhere in between, Lord, we'll be careful to say thank you and give you the glory, because we do believe that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And God's people said, amen. God bless you, church, as you serve him this week. If anyone would like prayer, please come on down to the front. And otherwise, we will, you're dismissed, and blessings on your week.